Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
However, now we're going to shift the conversation into the NBA, specifically finances within the NBA, because, look, I'll be honest with you, I am a lowly sports radio host, and so sometimes the numbers, they get confusing, but there is one guy who knows the numbers very, very well. His name's Keith Smith of Spotrac and NBA Front Office Podcast. Going to go out to the WadeFor.com hotline and bring in Keith on this happy 4th of July. I hope you are enjoying yourself, sir.
Yeah, it's been pretty good so far. And let me jump in on your question, because my best freebie, I once on a 12-hour flight got bumped to first class, like completely out of nowhere.
12 hours?
Was that amazing? Yeah. Yeah, now, that was clutch. That's the best I've ever had.
That is the freebie of a lifetime for sure, because I can't imagine how much more enjoyable that flight had to have been. Where were you going for 12 hours?
I was traveling basically from, it was a stop involved, but I was coming back from Europe.
Ah, okay. Wow. Yeah, that's quite the freebie. I love that. Getting people thinking about that. But Keith, look, I saw a tweet that you responded to, I believe it was this past week, that gave me a really great laugh. It said, there's nothing scarier than talking to a guy who understands every nuance of the NBA salary cap rules and structure. They can't be trusted, Dexter-level stuff. But, and in fact, at least in my perspective, I like talking to those people because, you know, you are one of those people who understand how complicated all of these contracts and exceptions and all of these things can get. And so with that, Keith, I want to start with the overall cap and league situation when it comes to the salary cap, luxury tax, all of those sorts of things. The league kind of goes off this estimate that everyone's expecting, and then the numbers finally come out, and they did so recently. With that, what have we kind of seen this year as far as the increase in spending compared to the last couple of years?
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so the cap was projected to come in at about $141 million, which was a bump of about 4% over last year's cap. It actually came in at about $140.6 million, rounding a little bit there. But so down a little bit, and there were a couple reasons for that. One, we had very short playoffs Boston rolled through the Eastern Conference with relative ease. The West didn't deliver a ton of seven-game series, so gate receipts weren't as high because everything wrapped up fairly quickly in the playoffs. And then the second big contributor was there were a lot of misses with the local TV money. Some of the local TV providers went bankrupt, and there were issues that caused by that. So that caused some issues. Now, that's not a huge amount. 500,000 off 140,000 plus cap is not a big deal. And most teams were prepared for it to come in slightly lower. What's projected now moving forward, though, every year is a 10% bump for at least the next probably 4 to 6 years. And that's because we're expecting to see with the new TV money rolls in, the national TV contracts of, coming in at, roughly $7 billion a year. We're expected to see a 10% bump. And that 10% that's the cap. That's as much as it's allowed to go up per year.
All right, Keith. The other element of this is everyone kind of getting up to speed and learning the consequences of the new CBA when it comes to the luxury tax and then these additional first and second aprons that have been introduced. How do you see that teams are kind of managing these sorts of things? And do you believe the league is going to be successful? Because at least it seems from my perspective that the league is doing this to increase competitiveness and parity. Do you think they're going to be successful with those things?
Yeah, so to the first part of your question, I do think we're definitely seeing those apron restrictions come in, which are not as much about the spending. Like, for example, Steve Ballmer and the LA Clippers, he doesn't care about paying a bigger luxury tax bill or anything like that because he'll find it in the couch cushions tomorrow.
Sure.
Like that doesn't matter to him. But what he does care about is when his front office tells him, yeah, but if we keep staying up over the second apron, we're not going to be able to add any outside talent. We're going to get very stuck here with a roster that's going to be just minimum contracts coming in. We're going to look a lot like what the Phoenix Suns look like, which is, a couple star guys and a whole bunch of guys on minimums. So the new restrictions were really meant to, hey, if you want to draft and develop all your guys, you want to hit on a couple free agent signings early and then continue to sign them, you can do that. You can always re-sign your own players. But they wanted to curb what the Warriors and Clippers had been doing and what kind of the Nets were headed into a couple years back when they still had Durant and Kyrie, where it turned into a spot where it was, all right, everybody is now going to be making a ton of signings on top of being already very expensive. So what they did was they put all these restrictions on these teams, and now they're forcing those teams to spend less or to be extremely restricted in who they can add, and they're pushing the other teams at the bottom of the league that don't spend as much up because you can no longer sit on 30, 40 million in cap space into the season anymore. Will it be effective? I think so. Right now, we've already seen the Warriors lost Klay Thompson, Chris Paul, the Clippers lost Paul George, the Nuggets lost Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. All of those teams cited the second apron and the restrictions as part of the reason why they let those guys go. So that's definitely, I think, part of it. And then will it introduce parity? I think there's a chance because you're not going to have these teams that can outspend everybody else by big, big amounts.
Talking with Keith Smith on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Keith of Spotrac and NBA Front Office Podcast. You can follow him on social media at Keith Smith NBA. Keith, let's get to the Hawks and their current cap situation and being close to the luxury tax, all of those sorts of things. After the DeJounte Murray trade, which hasn't gone final yet, but how much money does it appear that the Hawks are truly going to have to spend before they get to that luxury tax threshold? And, does it seem, it feels like, in my opinion, their only way of addressing the team at this point is through trade.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It really is through trades. They're now, I don't want to call it the new front office, but you've got some sure. people in different spots there that are kind of digging out a little bit from the spot they were handed. So what they're going to be doing here is going through, and you're going to start to see them really figure out, all right, trade-wise, these are the guys we believe we should build around. These are the guys we believe we can move. DeJounte Murray already, you know, getting moved, and that part of that is we got to clear up our books, both in the immediate and in the long term. I think the long term is the bigger focus, because in the immediate, there's only so much you can do right now. But to your question, how much will they have to spend? They're probably going to have about $6, $7 million under the luxury tax when all is said and done. That's not really a lot to go out and sign a player with. But what it is enough to do is it's enough to kind of get things moving. If you need a little extra wiggle room in a trade or something like that, that's enough to kind of give you that balancer. And I think that's more important to keep an eye on with the Hawks, because something tells me even though the DeJounte Murray deal is done, they may not be finished making moves, because free agency is, in effect, it's almost all kind of wrapped up. We've still got some good players. Don't get me wrong. DeMar DeRozan's at the top of the list. But most of the teams now are out of cap space. They're out of their exceptions for signing players. Most teams are now moving into, all right, if we're trying to get better, we got to do it through trade. And that's where I think Atlanta will be hand up. Hey, let's talk. We're open.
Yeah. Now, Keith, you mentioned a name there that has been someone that Hawks fans have as the names have become fewer and fewer, whether or not the actual on the basketball works or not, it's like, oh, well, here's a flashy name that I recognize in DeMar DeRozan. To make that sort of thing happen, that has to happen if the Hawks were going to do it in a sign and trade, correct? And like, how could they make that sort of a deal work?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It would have to be through a sign and trade. And in that position, they would have to, you know, figure out a number with DeMar DeRozan. Let's just call it $20 million, just for sake of using a round number. And then they'd have to match $20 million in salary to get it figured out. And that's where it starts to get a little tough, because do the Bulls, what Hawks players in the Bulls want back in a trade like that? Do you make the trade bigger where it involves multiple other guys? And personally, I think you're absolutely right. I think if you look at it and you say, geez, you know, we did the Murray trade, but we haven't done a whole lot else. You know, I want to be involved. I want to sign one of these guys. So people start looking at the names, and then you start looking at it, it's like, well, where would he fit? Because you've already got Jalen Johnson and DeAndre Hunter and now Zachary Risacher coming in. You know, where would he fit on the on the list of forwards there? That's a crowded group, and I think they're pretty committed to building around the kids.
Yeah, it certainly seems that is going to be the case. Is I think a lot of people forget where DeMar DeRozan has been playing a lot of his minutes the last few years versus earlier in his career. But Keith, with, you know, kind of the other moves that can happen with the Hawks right now, I know Sadiq Bey is a name that they declined. What his qualifying offer is going to be around $8 million, but reports have been around here that a long-term deal is still possible. How could the Hawks make that happen given their current cap situation?
Yeah, the reason why you decline his qualifying offer is, and it was going to be probably in the $8 million range, is there's a good chance he would just sign that and then use it, like, I get paid $8 million to rehab, because it keeps coming up, especially from fans of other teams, saying, hey, Sadiq Bey, like, I remember him. Like, he's pretty good. You know, why are we not signing him? Go get him. And I have to keep reminding people, probably going to miss most, if not all, of next season. Like, he tore his ACL in late March. Like, that's by the time you get back, there's a month left in the year, and who knows, you know, where you'd be. If you're investing in him long-term, yeah, you might bring him back at the end of the year just to knock the rust off, and that way you can go into the off-season in the next season knowing. But for the Hawks, if they want to re-sign him, they still have his full bird rights. They can work out any kind of deal they want with him. He's just simply, the biggest difference is he's an unrestricted free agent, and he can go kind of anywhere he wants, where had they given him the qualifying offer, he would have been a restricted free agent, and the Hawks could have controlled the process. But I understand why they didn't do that.
Talking with Keith Smith on the WadeFor.com hotline. Keith, you can follow him on social media at KeithSmithNBA. When it comes to the rest of free agency and teams spending money, not spending money, have there been any teams that really surprised you one way or another that really went on, you know, a bit of a cash frenzy, or that were more frugal and didn't spend money where you maybe expected them to?
Yeah, on the latter side, I think the fact that the Warriors and Clippers right now are, like, out of the tax, like, that's pretty incredible. like did not expect that to be where that ultimately landed out. Now the Warriors may not end up out of the tax. We'll see. They're still working through putting together some trades and the like, so they may end up a little bit over the tax line. But those two teams, having been two of the most expensive teams in history over the last few seasons, like that is a little surprising that they got there. And then teams on the other side, Philly, we always knew was going to spend. I think Orlando spending on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was a little surprising because it kind of came out of nowhere. But that's a really, really good addition for them.
Yeah.
And then the Thunder, there was a question of, are they going to really spend the money or not? Because that's a franchise that hasn't always spent money. They went kind of all in on getting Isaiah Hartenstein to come in, and he gives them a completely different look and a different lineup versatility that they have not had. And I think that's pretty huge for them. So that's been a kind of another interesting one to watch, you know, on the other end of teams that got a lot better this summer through spending some money.
Last one for you, Keith, real quick. Just with the Bronny contract, that the number comes out, 4 years, $7.9 million, fully guaranteed for a guy who was picked 55th overall. I have seen both the people freaking out about that and then the people who are like, hey, this is no big deal. If you look at you know, other players along those similar lines, where do you kind of stand on the contract that the Lakers gave Bronny?
Yeah, they gave him what's now called the second-round pick exception. That was introduced last year as a new thing, as a way for teams to sign second-round picks without having to give them cap space or part of another exception or something like that. So it's actually been a really good addition. Multiple players have signed for money in that range that Bronny is getting. The difference is those guys were generally drafted in the 30s or maybe up to like 40 to 45. Bronny being the 55th pick in the draft, a lot of teams didn't have him on their draft board. Maybe would have gone completely undrafted had it not been for the Lakers. I think that's where it introduces the question of, you know, where is this all coming from? But it's not anything that, you know, like right now, Lakers fans are like, we're not doing anything. We drafted two guys and that's it, and there's nothing else, and they're getting extremely frustrated. But it's not because of drafting and paying Bronny James. That's not making a big enough difference in anything that they can and can't do. It's just they're kind of stuck, contract-wise with a lot of the other contracts they've given out over the past few years.
That is Keith Smith, the Spotrac and NBA Front Office podcast. Keith, really appreciate you giving us some of your time on this July 4th.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.